Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated February 21st, 2020. We'll start today's reading on the front page with Decatur Eats. Unbelievable. Chick-fil-A pop-up greeted with huge turnout appetites. Decatur. The call of the chicken sandwich was strong, so strong that hundreds of people waited in line despite the freezing cold Thursday to order from a pop-up chicken fillet in the Ashley Home Furnishings parking lot at 3705 North Water Street, Decatur. Staff from the franchise's Springfield location greeted the customers with a table, tent, and van filled with chicken sandwiches and sides. The event was a gesture of appreciation for the Decatur community, said Michael Wade, whose wife, Catherine Wade, owns the Springfield store. We get so many of you guys coming to the restaurant, he said. We wanted maybe one time a week for us to bring a Chick-fil-A to you as a pop-up shop. Michael Wade said the pop-up tent would return every Thursday, weather permitting, in the same location until the end of summer. A line of customers wound around rows of parked cars before serving began. Vans carrying more food arrived periodically while the tent was open from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Economic Development Coordinator Tom Dudley said he was expecting the crowd to be big, but that was unbelievable, he said. Could this signal that a development of a more permanent Decatur Chick-fil-A is in the works? Michael Wade said he was not aware of any such plans. We're just really thankful you guys come so far for us, so we wanted to come here, he said. Dudley said it was clear from the response that the community wants a Chick-fil-A restaurant, but there are no plans in the works at this time. Whatever is happening today, send a message to the company, Dudley said, but they don't want to give people a false impression that we will have a store planned. Chick-fil-A began a restaurant in Georgia in 1946. The chain is well known for its marketing campaign, which features cows, encouraging people to eat more chicken, and for its policy of closing on Sundays. The company has offered pop-up restaurants in other places, such as New York and Texas. In central Illinois, there are permanent locations in Springfield, Peoria, Bloomington Normal, and Champaign. The Springfield restaurant was the company's 2,000th store. Among the devoted chicken fans braving the wait Thursday were 6-year-old Braylee Wright and her brother, Brad, 12. My mom said we were going to get some food, Brad said. We got in the car and came here. Gary Fike, 70, is among the customers who travels to nearby cities to get his Chick-fil-A fix. On Thursday, he waited in line for about half an hour and was planning to get a few sandwiches. You get a sandwich, a cookie, the waffle fries, chips, he said, but I'm just getting two sandwiches. Becky Larson braved the cold along with her dog, Iris, waiting for the famous chicken sandwich. Larson admits she's a fan of the franchise and will travel out of Decatur to get one of the restaurant sandwiches. I want them to build in this parking lot, she said, so I'm showing support for it. And the picture on page 2 shows Terry England waiting in line since 9:30 a.m. on Thursday to buy several Chick-fil-A sandwiches. And the front page picture shows catering director Elizabeth Wright filling orders on Thursday at the pop-up Chick-fil-A in Decatur. Several vans arrived periodically with more food during the two-hour window. Blagojevich free. TV analyst, spokesman, ex-governor seeking job, Chicago. Job wanted. Ex-governor and ex-con with strong speaking skills and good hair seeking employment. Fresh out of prison, thanks to a commutation this week from President Donald Trump, former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is in the hunt for a post-prison career. I need to start working and providing for my family, the 63-year-old told Fox News this week. He didn't elaborate on the kind of job he's seeking. Job hunts have gotten Blagojevich in trouble before. His expletive-laden talk, captured on FBI wiretaps about landing a job or campaign cash for naming someone to Barack Obama's vacated U.S. Senate seat is part of what led to his multiple corruption convictions. Here's a look at what jobs might be out there for the one-time contestant on Trump's Celebrity Apprentice reality TV show. Question, what are the range of possible jobs? Answer, his options could include becoming a commentator on cable news channel where criminal convictions aren't necessarily a disqualification. A self-employed podcaster could be another option. Blagojevich could try to parlay his relative fame into a gig on another reality TV show. Producers might see his sometimes engaging and offbeat character as a draw. Blagojevich himself mused about dream jobs in the secret recordings of his phone that played central roles at his two corruption trials. Why can't I be an ambassador to India? He is heard telling an aide. He later adds, gotta think I can at least be ambassador to Macedonia. He also talked about heading a philanthropic organization. He could do a book, confessional type book, could attract interest, one in which he describes a metamorphosis as he served 8 years of a 14-year sentence. But the only obvious change in Blagojevich is that his trademark thick hair changed from black to white. His insistence that he never did anything wrong is wholly unchanged. When his Fox News interviewer asked Wednesday if he felt even a modicum of regret for decisions that led to his imprisonment, Blagojevich responded promptly, no. He added categorically, I broke no laws, I crossed no lines. He has spoken at length in recent days about what he described as an overzealous federal justice system echoing Trump. That could position him as a spokesman for advocacy organizations that agrees with him. Question. Might Trump offer him a job? Answer, that seems far-fetched, but it's possible. Blagojevich believes Trump could follow up a commutation with a job offer in his administration. In recent days, it sometimes seemed Blagojevich might be pining for something more from Trump. The Chicago Democrat heaped praise on the Republican president as he addressed reporters outside of his home Wednesday, a day after his release from a federal prison in Colorado. Blagojevich went so far as to say he'd vote for Trump, calling himself a Trumpocrat. Question, what salary might he be looking for? Answer, at trial, prosecutors highlighted Blagojevich's extravagant tastes. They said he and his wife, Patty, spent more than $400,000 on clothes that included tailored suits and furs. On a single day, he even shelled out $1,300 on ties. As governor, Blagojevich made a salary of around $177,000. In wiretaps, he sounds unimpressed when someone mentions that being the head of a nonprofit might bring in $200,000 or $300,000. Oh, that's all, he says. Blagojevich and his wife were awash in more than $200,000 in consumer debt when he was arrested in 2008. Their debts deepened as his legal bills stacked up. Question, what might curtail his job prospects? Answer, his severely tainted reputation, for starters. Many employers may be reluctant to associate their companies with a disgraced politician whose convictions included trying to shake down the CEO of a children's hospital. Agents arrested then-Governor Blagojevich after wiretaps recorded him gushing about using his power to appoint someone to the Senate seat to land a well-paid job for campaign cash, saying the leverage it provided was effing golden. Prosecutors cited that comment to explain why they moved fast to arrest Blagojevich. An appeals court later tossed convictions based on his bid for a job, but upheld ones based on his attempt to trade an appointment for money. Blagojevich can't run for office in Illinois under conditions set by state legislators when they ousted him as governor in 2009. Blagojevich, who got his law degree from Pepperdine University in 1983, can probably cross lawyer off the prospective jobs list. The Illinois Attorney Registration and Disciplinary Commission is scheduled to hold a hearing next week that will likely lead to his disbarment. A former complaint says his crimes adversely reflects on his honesty, trustworthiness, or fitness as a lawyer. Question: what are his qualifications? Answer: after law school, Blagojevich worked as a Cook County prosecutor. Years later, he won an Illinois House seat, then U.S. House seat. He won the Illinois governorship in 2002, running on a pledge to crack down on corruption. The son of Serbian-American parents is well-read and has a good memory, sometimes showing that by naming all the U.S. presidents in the proper order. As a politician, he demonstrated a Bill Clinton-like ability to contact with people of disparate backgrounds. Perhaps that could open a way to sales or a marketing job. But he's often demonstrated a lack of common sense and everyday know-how. Trump fired him from Celebrity Apprentice after Blagojevich struggled with basic tasks like sending emails from a cell phone. Former staff recall Blagojevich as disengaged and disorganized as governor, and that he was someone who would go out of his way to avoid hearing bad news. Blagojevich would go so far as hiding in a bathroom to avoid discussing the state budget with his budget director. A former deputy director, Robert Greenlee, testified at one of Blagojevich's trials. Blagojevich also had trouble focusing on legislation and could let paperwork pile up, Greenlee said. Among the duties Blagojevich rarely got to were petitions from Illinois state prisoners desperately seeking gubernatorial pardons. Illinois politics, Springfield. Republicans on Thursday called it shameful that Governor J.B. Pritzker is floating a budget plan that ties more than 40% of promised education funding to voter approval of his coveted tax structure overhaul. Educators agreed planning for the coming school year would be difficult under the Democratic governor's proposal. It promises the expected minimum of $350 million boost to schools, but there's a catch. Classrooms would never see $150 million of its constitutional amendment to adopt a graduated income tax to see $150 million of it if a constitutional amendment to adopt a graduated income tax fails at the ballot box in November. He's trying to tell the state of Illinois, if you want to fund things that are important to you, then you have to go along with my political agenda, and I think that's a false choice, Assistant House Republican Leader Avery Bourne of Morrisonville said at a morning Capitol News conference. It's a shameful tactic to use rather than talking about what we can afford to spend. The centerpiece of Pritzker's 2018 campaign, the income tax plan would hit heftier incomes at higher rates and produce $3.6 billion in additional annual revenue, according to the advocates. As collection ramped up, nearly $1.4 billion would be available in the second half of the next fiscal year, which ends in June 2021. That's the amount Pritzker has scheduled in his budget plan as reserves that only materialize with the income tax switch, including the $150 million education funding carrot. That leaves school boards across the state wondering whether to anticipate spending based on a $200 million allocation or roll the dice and plan on the $350 million boost promised in a 2017 education funding revamp. Once budgets are set and students answer the bell, it's very difficult to adjust budgets. If additional revenues come in November or December, there's no time to develop any strategies to improve classroom instruction, said Tony Sanders, CEO of School District U46 in Elgin, the state's next to largest. You can't hire staff on a promise and another 100 and on a promise another $150 million. You can't lower class size. You're talking about people, and you're not going to be able to hire people for the second half of the year, Senator Andy Menar, a Bunker Hill Democrat who helped craft the 2017 evidence-based funding model, said the schoolhouse apprehension is no different than any other year immediately following a gubernatorial budget unveiling. Menar said Pritzker made the case for a $350 million allotment, and there's multiple paths to get that done. Designed to prioritize state funding for the neediest school districts in terms of academic achievement and the ability of local property wealth to provide financial support, the law sets $350 million as the minimum annual state contribution to make it work. But if it's lower, schools most in need still get an influx. One of the biggest advantages we have today is we injected stability into the system, Menar said. But there's always going to be doubts. From the time the governor presents a budget to the time one is signed into law, there's always going to be some level of uncertainty, he said. Bourne argued there's enough revenue growth expected, $800 million to cover the full education bill. Ben Schwarm, Deputy Executive Director of the Illinois Association of School Boards, agreed that there's a lot of legislative debate to come before the General Assembly's May 31st scheduled adjournment. And if lawmakers put $350 million in a budget bill they send to the governor, it would be difficult for Pritzker to veto it. But approval of Pritzker's plan as it stands would ensure only $200 million for school when the fiscal year begins July 1st. School boards will react accordingly, Schwarm said. They'll go with what they think might be coming, Schwarm said. They're prudent in the way they do that, and they're going to go with the lower number. Pritzker on Thursday began rounding up support for his proposed increases in higher education funding. Speaking at the University of Illinois at Chicago, Pritzker highlighted his proposal of a 5% increase in general operating funds for the state's colleges and universities, along with a $27 million infusion into the financially troubled College Illinois prepaid tuition program. A $50 million increase in funding for the Monetary Award Program, or MAP, grants for lower-income students, and a $2.5 million to defray the advanced placement testing fees for lower-income high school students. It puts college students front and center, and it builds on the historic investments and improvements that we've made to strengthen our higher education system, Pritzker said. But his speech wasn't just about finding backers for his budget plan. It was also a pitch for support of a constitutional amendment to overhaul the state's income tax, because without that, most of those funding increases are unlikely to happen. Some of this funding must be held in reserve until we know the fate of the constitutional amendment that would change our tax structure to treat working families more fairly, Pritzker said. And the picture that accompanies this article shows State Representative Avery Bourne, Republican of Morrisonville, telling reporters that Governor J.B. Pritzker's budget proposal for education funding will hurt schools during a news conference Wednesday in Springfield. And more local and state news on page A3. Affidavit, or man charged with causing son's injuries. Affidavit, 8-week-old infant in intensive care at St. John's, Decatur. A Macon man is charged with causing injuries to his 8-week-old son that have sent the child to intensive care. Deputies went to Decatur Memorial Hospital on Thursday, February 13th, to investigate possible child abuse, according to a sworn affidavit in the case. Medical staff found that the baby had evidence of a healing brain injury and a newer brain injury, fractured ribs, and first and second degree burns on his thigh, leg, and genital areas, as well as bruising in several places, the affidavit said. Medical personnel told deputies that their findings raised concerns of significant trauma and that non-accidental trauma should be considered. The child was sent to HSHS St. John's Children's Hospital, where the affidavit said he is in the neonatal intensive care unit as with a nurse dedicated to him. The baby was brought to the hospital by his father, 31-year-old Seth M. Nashland. Asked about the injuries, Nashland told medical staff that they were possibly related to a family dog walking on the child or his 3-year-old daughter falling on the infant, also saying the burns could have happened from the child's bathwater accidentally getting too hot, the affidavit said. Nashland was interviewed by law enforcement on Friday, February 14th, when he acknowledged that he had become frustrated and shoved his son onto a blanket, causing his head to strike a nearby TV stand. He also said he had accidentally bumped the cold water off while giving the child a bath, which caused the burns. A check of his phone revealed a search for "How long do you go to jail for infant abuse?" on the morning of February 14th. Nashland also acknowledged that the trauma to his son happened around noon, and he did not take the child to the emergency room until about 10 p.m., the affidavit said. He was called back for another interview on Wednesday. During this interview, the affidavit said, Nashland acknowledged that he had become very upset and had shaken the child forcefully back and forth a few times before the baby's eyes rolled back into his head, and then used force to push the baby to the ground. He said he believed he used enough force to break the child's ribs while doing this, and that the baby's head also struck the TV stand. The baby was crying, so he took him to the sink to give him a bath. Nashland said he was still extremely upset, but he was panicking, the affidavit said, adding that he acknowledged lying about the dog and other child possibly causing the injuries. Nashland said he feared embarrassment if the truth was learned. Asked about the old and healing injuries, Nashland said they may have occurred when the child's head hit a wall after a near fall down the stairs. In another interview Wednesday, the 31-year-old said he also shook the infant and pushed him to the ground after becoming frustrated and later fell down the stairs while holding the infant. According to the sheriff's office, the child is being helped to breathe with a respirator and is being given several medications to combat seizures, the affidavit said. Staff at St. John's have indicated that the baby may not live, but if he does, he may have problems with his vision and brain functions for the rest of his life, the affidavit said. Nashland was arrested and booked into Macon County Jail on Wednesday afternoon on a preliminary Class X felony charge of aggravated battery to a child. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. His bail is set at $2 million, meaning he would need to post $200,000 to be released. Public safety. Parents asked to help with teen complaints. Sheriff's Office steps up mall area patrols. Forsyth. The Macon County Sheriff's Office is asking parents of teens who visit Hickory Point Mall on weekends to help ensure they don't cause problems at the mall or surrounding businesses. Deputies have responded to a spike in calls for service at the mall and surrounding businesses in recent weeks. Sheriff Tony Brown said in a statement released Thursday, more deputies would be patrolling the area in response, but parents can help too. We ask the parents to make sure the teens are either supervised by a responsible adult or talk to them about being safe and responsible while they are out enjoying their weekend, Brown said. The Herald and Review reported on Monday that the sheriff's office had met with Forsyth Village officials and was considering ways to step up the presence of law enforcement. Brown said some parents were dropping their children off at the mall like it's babysitting and might be unaware of what the teens were doing until they were picked up. He described the trouble as mostly yelling, foul language, and disruptive behavior. Brown's statement on Thursday elaborated on the nature of the calls, saying deputies have taken reports on damage to a vehicle at one business and verbal abuse of an employee at another. The sheriff's office has also received complaints about groups of teens walking in the road and causing traffic hazards. Gary Birchbach, who owns the McDonald's restaurant in Forsyth, told the Herald and Review on Monday that he was considering adding security guards for the restaurant. He said a member of his staff had been physically assaulted And there's a quote from Sheriff Tony Brown. We ask the parents to make sure the teens are either supervised by a responsible adult or talk to them about being safe and responsible while they are out enjoying their weekend. And then there's an article on Black History Month celebrated at Banquet, Decatur. Attendees at the annual Boys and Girls Club of Decatur annual Black History Banquet celebrated African Americans who have made a difference in the Decatur community. The free event included entertainment, food, and remarks from guest speaker Sonia Perkins, who encouraged the community's support of the nonprofit organization. Winners of the club's Black History Essay Contest were also recognized. Founded in 1972, the Boys and Girls Club offers programs and activities for children ages 7 to 18 at its Decatur facility at 859 North Jasper Street. And the picture here shows two pictures. One is members of the choir for Church of the Living God Temple 2 perform Thursday at the Black History Banquet of the Boys and Girls Club in Decatur, and it shows several people singing and clapping. And a big picture left of Kiara Cotton reciting a poem about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And you can see more photos at www.herald-review.com. Police: Dad refuses to return child to mom. Search ensues before man arrested on child abduction charge. Decatur: A man who refused to hand his six-month-old son back to the child's mother after a visit and even implied he had left the child outside in the street to freeze to death was arrested on a preliminary charge of child abduction early Thursday. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police described how officers dashed around the city late Wednesday night and early Thursday trying to find the baby as the father, 24, taunted the mother in phone calls. "Go find him," expletive. Police said he told the 20-year-old mother, "I don't know where he's at. I don't got him. Better find him before he freezes." The temperature indicator overnight Wednesday was recorded at 19 degrees, according to the National Weather Service at Lincoln. The man called 911 and implied the mother was endangering his child. Police were able to trace the man's location to the area of East William and North Stone Streets via his phone. Officers said they questioned him and learned the child was with a woman at a home in the 1300 block of East Prairie Avenue, and the baby was safe in police custody by 12:35 a.m. Writing in the affidavit, police officer Jacqueline Danner said the situation had started at 11:05 p.m. when a sister of the mother went to the man's home in the 1300 block of East Wellington Way to pick up the baby. But Danner said he refused to give the baby back. When police went to his apartment, they found him and the baby gone. The mother kept trying to reach the man, who then called her sister to announce the child was left outside a barber shop on the intersection of East William and North Jasper Streets. Officers checked the location and did not locate the child, Danner wrote. Police then checked the other addresses where the baby might be and also had the man's girlfriend call him repeatedly to ask, but then he kept hanging up on her. After police got the break with the cell phone track, they had the man under arrest by 1 a.m. He was booked in on preliminary charges of child abduction and disorderly conduct. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. A check of Macon County jail records showed the man remained in custody Thursday night in lieu of posting bail set at $150,000, which means he must post $15,000 to bond out. If he makes bail, he is ordered to stay away from the baby and its mother. Police noted that in the affidavit that the man said the man and the child's mother were never married, and there are no court orders covering child visitation. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated February 21st, 2020. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.